day with a hop, a skip, and a hoe day. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell. What's good or bad or just okay? Should you buy it now or wait for the trader? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes. So I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to God Hates Comics, issue 43.
Yeah,
we're on the road to 50, which means we're also on the road to 52, which...
Technically, we're also on the road to 100.
We're technically on the road to everything. We're on the road to... We're on the road again. On the road to 57. So we're going to focus primarily this week on a lot of the movie, TV stuff that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. Not a whole lot of comic stuff's popped up in the intermittent week since we last recorded. We are also only going to be giving you recommendations of comics this week. We are recording on Tuesday, so we were not able to give you guys genuine thoughts on the books we're reading, but we're going to give you some educated guesses on things we think are going to be pretty good. So,
or things that we like at the very least.
Things that we like and we will definitely be reading for sure.
And it's not going to be any different for me.
Because you never read your books. In the intervening week, what have I done? We all saw Ant-Man, so we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, we're going to save that for the end of the show. And it's going to be spoiler-heavy, and we're going to be talking basically spoilers up through the Marvel Universe at this point. So
pretty much.
Everybody dies.
Yes.
Spoiler!
Yeah, exactly. What else have I done? Science Man. I had my birthday stuff this past weekend. Dusty thankfully nicely came out and watched some wrestling with us. That was cool.
But I would have liked to,
you know, somebody forgot to tell me they were at their house.
That's my fault.
So
I'm sorry.
Come over and watch wrestling with
it was a lot of stuff happening at once. I apologize. If you had just come for the whole thing because you took the day off, then you wouldn't have had that problem.
Snap.
Boom. Right back at you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we played laser tag earlier in the day. First couple games were a bit of a bummer because there were a couple of ringers.
Okay, explain the ringer thing. What does this mean?
These were four guys that were really good.
Somebody that's a badass.
Like, you know what a ringer? You don't know what a ringer is?
I know what ringers are, but you were playing six of those free-for-all, right?
We played a team game our first game, and I actually ended up on the ringer team. They were just like, we need somebody else on this team. And I was like, all right, sure. And they're talking to the guys before the game, and they're all like, yeah, what are your name? We're exchanging names and everything. And they're just like, yeah, we do this a lot, man. You know, we're pretty good at this. And I'm taking that as like, you know, they play every weekend or something. But these are guys that like systematically go through the arena and hunt down everybody.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Jeez.
Their precision is insane. They'll shoot you four times before you shoot them once, and they're hiding all over the place, to the point where you are just spending the whole game getting shot and killed.
That's
and
awesome.
I didn't realize it the first game because I'm on their team. But throughout the course of that first game, I realized that some of my friends were getting kind of annoyed, so I was like telling them, I was like, dude, they're up on the top floor. Go get them. And so I didn't think too much of it, but then the second game was a free-for-all. But they were still working as a team.
Blows.
So two of them were walking around together shooting people. The third one was on the first floor, and then there was one up on the top floor, and like he just shoot you endlessly if you came up there, just basically pinned you down, kept shooting at you to the point where I was like, well, about halfway through the game, I found Vanessa and her sister, and they were just kind of sitting down, and the guys just walked by and go, just repeatedly shoot them while they're sitting on the floor. And at that point, I was just like, this isn't fun. These guys are basically ruining it for us. I guess if you're a kid, you don't realize. But, like, as an adult, I was very clear. I became very aware that these were other adults being douches.
Yeah.
And that was my issue, too. Is they weren't just good. They were pricks about it. Like I said, they'd shoot you if you were sitting down on the ground. They'd just wait for you. Like, they'd shoot you, wait for your stuff to come back up, shoot you again. And then Vanessa, not known to me, I finished the game pissed off. But unbeknownst to me, she actually... took off her vest halfway through and walked up to the front because she'd had enough with them. And they were still shooting her vest as she had taken it off and was walking away.
To rack up points.
Yeah, they were just shooting her vest. She was very clearly, she like literally was just like, really, guys? Really? Really? And they were just like, just ran off. So she actually finally went to them and said, look, these guys are doing this. It's not fun. They're literally making this game unenjoyable for everybody else. And they finally... Because one of my friends had asked if it would be possible to have them sit out the next game we played, and they were a little wishy-washy of doing that. But thankfully, when Vanessa finally came down and was just like, this is bullshit, basically, And one of my other friends, Jeremy, leaned in and was just like, yeah, these guys are everywhere. It's ridiculous. They were finally like, all right, they will sit out the next game you guys play. And they did, and that game was, it was like night and day. Infinitely more fun.
Yeah.
Aided immensely by the fact that there were six tiny Asian children that ran around calling themselves the six-pack army the whole game. And that's
that's
terrible.
Awesome.
So, and they sat out that game, and then when we came out of that one, they seemed to be gone for the most part. So they took the hint very nicely. But then after that, we went to Star Pizza, and then after that, we came back and watched some wrestling. A little bit of drama, and so some drama at the laser tags, but drama a little bit later, but overall, it was really fun. Got some good shit. I got Winter Soldier on Blu-ray. I got Usagi Yojimbo Senso from one of my friends.
It's funny because these are all things that's, it surprises me that you didn't already own.
Yeah, I was thinking. I was like, you didn't have Winter Soldier already? Yeah.
I didn't. That was actually somehow the only Marvel movie I didn't
have. The fucking
like,
day came out.
I have everything else, but I don't have that one. I don't really know how it happened. So I it was one of those things that like I wanted the pack of like the Blu-ray, the DVD, the digital copy. I wanted the whole set. And that set was like $30, and it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was never dropping in price.
The Marvel stuff doesn't really drop in price because
like you need to buy it right when it comes out because it's $20, and that's about as low as it gets.
Yeah,
and I didn't do that.
Iron Man 3, I think I ended up paying like $25. That was like the lowest I saw it.
So one of my friends nicely got it for me. I got a Usagi Yojimbo Senso. I've been buying the trades of the volume, so I don't buy any collections really. But I wanted the nice hardcover of Senso because it's a beautiful book and it's really good. And it's kind of its own thing, so I don't know if it's going to be included in any of those collections they're doing going forward. And then I got a couple of manga from Felipe. He got me Monster by Urasawa and Master Keaton, also by him. Master Keaton, both kind of mystery thriller types.
Yeah.
That's my jam. And then a lot of gift cards, a lot of cash, a lot of cool shit. And one of my other friends got me Ultra 7, which is the second Ultraman series, got me the DVD set of that, so I can get my tokusatsu on. And, overall, it was pretty fun. I got nothing really to complain about when I really considered the pros and cons, so.
Sounds like a good day.
It was a really good day. And then, what else? Anything else? Didn't really read a couple of comics, this week, so I'm looking forward to some good stuff, but. Oh, I started reading Death Note. I mentioned I was watching the new show, and I started rereading it. I finished, the Black Edition Volume 1. Last week, which is the first two volumes, and has taken me further than the new show is so far. So the new show is an hour long drama, so it does a good chunk of the story at once, but it's definitely changed some things this time around.
Yeah.
Kind of throwing a few twists in there, because if you're going to do it again, I guess you kind of need
to change
things up a bit. And so, but the first two volumes are really good, and I just started Black Edition Volume 2, which is Volumes 3 and 4, so. And then, looking forward to the Wade and Moore signing.
Yeah.
That by the time you hear this will have been either yesterday or 2 days ago. As of this time is tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited about that too.
Coming at you from the future, kids.
From the future.
Yeah.
Someone give me the winning Powerball numbers. So Vince.
5.
Damn it.
That's it.
Dynamite drop in, Vince. That broadcast school really paid off.
Honestly, I don't think I did much this weekend. I watched Ant-Man like you guys did. I'm pretty excited because I got a new Lego Creator Ferrari, which I need to start building.
Sick.
Yeah. I started reading Ready Player One.
Yeah,
which
it's a good
one. It's a book by Ernest Cline, and it's pretty cool because it basically takes place in like a not post-apocalyptic, but definitely dystopian future, where everyone is kind of jacked into this world's version of, like, World of Warcraft, and it's, like, their primary means of, like, entertainment and communication and, like, business transactions and stuff like that. And the basic story is that the creator of this game world, or this world, passed away, and he left clues for, like, he didn't leave a will to anyone. He basically said, I've left 4 clues in the game. Whoever finds them will inherit my fortune. It's like $240 billion or something like that. And I think they also get control of the game, like, in some capacity. But anyway, so it's basically chronicling this one kid's quest to find these Easter eggs, what they call them, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's
a lot of 80s references,
it's
too.
Tons of 80s references.
Lots of pop culture. You mentioned there is a Kikator reference, too. So
yeah,
I need to reread it, because a lot of it's starting to get hazy, and I'm actually in a commission group for a poster for it.
Nice. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I know Spielberg is working on a movie.
Which, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm about 300 pages in, so I'm almost finished.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how the hell he's going to do it, because there's a lot of, like, the fantastical worlds and stuff, like, they can just do CGI that, but it's, like, the licenses where I'm just like, man, they're not going to be able to get all those. Because it's everything from, like, they kind of mix, like, Ultraman, Godzilla, Captain Crunch, like, I think there's some Marvel stuff.
Is this Spider-Man's mecha in that book too?
Oh, yeah, Leah Pardon.
Yeah.
He makes an appearance in the book, and it's like, this is rad. Like, if you were born in the 80s or did shit in the 80s, or even just you were born in the 90s and somehow, like, looked up the 80s, it's like, you'll know stuff about this show. Yeah, man, about this book. It's really fun. So I'm enjoying that. I'm almost sad. It's like, because, like, I'm blowing through it, you know, like.
And I've not been hearing great things about his next one. His one that just came out.
Oh, really?
His new one that just came out, Armada.
Yeah, I've heard.
Friend Steven got me a gift card, but he almost bought me Armada instead. But then he saw that I said it was getting bad reviews, and that made me sad. So he opted to just give me the gift card. I got a bunch of half price gift cards though, so I'd probably buy it anyway.
Is this a continuation?
No, it's a new story. It's a new story that, when you read the synopsis, sounds a lot like The Last Starfighter.
Okay.
It's very much like a bunch of kids that have been playing this video game for years find out that there's a real invasion coming, and them playing that video game has prepared them for it.
It's like Pixels. Or that movie that's coming out.
It's The Last Starfighter. End of story.
Okay, man, whatever. Like,
whatever.
Anyway, shifting gear. So, I went to Toys R Us today, because why the hell not?
Sure.
And
oh, we know why you went, Vince. Don't pretend we don't.
Yeah. Legos. Fuck y'all.
Exactly.
Anyway, I didn't buy any Legos. But what I did buy was I found a super pack of 6 hot comic books. Now, it looks like it's just kind of like a grab bag. It's $3.99, but it's a $15 collector value.
We're
going to look at this package real quick. Let's see what we got. Right. The top there says Super Pack, $3.99. For 6 hot comic books, it does say $15 collector value, even though you can clearly see the first issue here, which is clearly issue 4.
Issue 4 of Grendel is
$1.50, while this on the back here, it looks like, what, Inferno Hellbound?
Oh, Hellbound. Hey, I was thinking Hellion.
I'm thinking Hellbound. And that issue was $2.50. So right now we're at a cover value of $4.
All right, so at least it's paid for itself.
Yeah, definitely.
But the reason
I bought this, like I said, I bought it at Toys R Us. It was nestled between, like, issues of Sonic Underground, I think.
Yeah.
And DC's Scooby-Doo comics.
Nice. Okay.
And there's 4 other comics in here. I don't know what they are, so I'm going to open them. We're going to find out.
That was easy.
That was really easy.
All right, so we start off on the top. We've got Grendel issue 4.
Hey, by Comico. This issue, all right, published 1987.
Wow.
Dang. All right, we've got Union number 1.
Wow, I have that.
By Mark Teixeira and Mike Heilser. $2.50, so what are we at? That's $6.50. This book came out in June 93.
Mm-hmm.
We've got How to Collect Comics.
Oh my god, that's not even a comic.
Card Sewn Special Interest Publication. Single issue price $4. So that's a fucking ripoff right there.
So $4 for this? Are you serious? This is a leaflet.
Yeah.
Alright. No Honor number 3 from Top Cow. Part 3 of 4 by Fiona Avery, Clayton Crane.
Huh.
Hey. And it's not like crazy CGI.
It'll be it. Basically gone. You can have him sign it.
So there you go. All right. I have She.
Jonathan Glapion inked it, too.
All right.
Nice, he'll be there, too.
And it's Senryaku number 2.
Oh, you got a She comic.
You got a She comic,
yeah. I got a She comic. She Senryaku, book 2 of 3.
God, Jesus. You're not reading any of these in order except Union number 1.
October 1995, first printing.
Oh, man. Printing. Oh, man.
Hey. Darkness Vampirella.
That's for the kids, you know, that's for sure.
Number 1.
Oh, wow, you can actually start at the beginning number and be disappointed.
By, which Moore? Terry Moore.
No shit.
Really?
I don't sign it.
Dude.
Oh my god, you just
got to sign it. Oh my god, you're serious. I got to sign
it. That's hilarious.
Wow.
That cover's by Terry Moore, too, I think.
That's amazing.
That's... No shit, it really is.
That is crazy.
That is amazing.
Oh my God.
I didn't even know Darkness. He's not going to be there. I have to think about whether I'm going to take it.
I'll take it.
That is insane.
Please take it. What the hell? Get it signed for me. What are you doing?
I didn't even know there was a Darkness Vampirella in existence, let alone the fact that it was written by Terry Moore. Terry Strangers in Paradise Moore wrote Darkness Vampirella. That is ridiculous.
And then the last book, like we said, is Inferno Hellbound.
Close
it. Based on Inferno, created by Cary Solomon and Chuck Konzelman.
Yeah.
Written by Mark Silvestri and David Wall.
They wrote.
By Bat.
They created Witchblade.
But check this out. There's a advertisement on the back for Witchblade number 54, which introduces Francis Manipal as the new series artist.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. This is like a weird time capsule of fucking like shitty 90s comics.
this Terry Moore Darkness Vampirella is blowing my mind.
That's worth it right there.
That is ridiculous.
Like, I'm not going to read any of this crap, but I am going to go through to take a look at the ads and stuff just to see.
That is a little ridiculous.
This is kind of awesome. It's like I said, it's like a weird time capsule. It's actually kind of cool. When I checked out, the person who checked me out was like, oh, wow, this is cool. Like, I didn't know we sold stuff like this. So, is that a flipbook?
No, thanks. I don't know. I'm trying to look.
Oh, and by the way,
it's just an ad.
This ad, whatever the fuck is this, card some How to Collect Comics, it's not one of the 6. It's actually an extra.
Oh.
It's like a bonus feature.
I noticed that.
So, rad.
How to Collect Comics.
How to Collect Comics. Just start buying them. That's awesome. So, shifting gears, Dusty, anything you've been up to in the last week?
I've worked a shitload. We're moving offices and shit. So, no. I mean, I've watched a few more episodes of Knights of Cydonia, and that's about it. Haven't really read much. Haven't really done much.
I also did get a ticket to see David Gilmour in Chicago. So I'll be traveling to Chicago next April, because this man plans ahead to go see the lead guitarist for Pink Floyd.
Wait, you got a ticket to the concert, right?
Not yes.
A ticket to, like, to Chicago?
Oh, the ticket in the hotel. I've got 9 months to get the ticket in the hotel.
We'll figure it out.
Whether it's my dad or not, I'll figure it out. I figure it's my last shot.
Holy shit, Dave Stevens in this cover for the Grendel book.
Are you serious? It looks like
It looks like he might have inked it.
Yeah, it looks like it says... Let's look. Covers, I got it. Doesn't say, I don't think. Doesn't say, it looks like. Strange.
Come and get it, wizardworld.com.
Pander Bros is the artist. Like it says, Pander Bros right there. I guess Dave Stevens might have inked it or colored it. No, Matt Wagner. Matt Wagner's name's on there too.
So a lot of people.
So Dave Stevens, Pander Bros, and Matt Wagner's names are all on here. So interesting. Anyway, so what we're going to do now is, in the wake of San Diego Comic-Con, a shit ton of trailers and movie stuff came out. So we're actually going to be talking about the trailers that have come out for the various movies. So we're going to start off with Batman Superman.
Yes,
they debuted a new trailer. They debuted a new trailer, and I personally think it's pretty great.
Dude, it's a badass fucking trailer. Like,
it,
honestly.
It really is. Like, it. Because that was one of my issues. As much as I am one of the apparently minority that didn't hate Man of Steel, the first trailer left a lot to be desired. I will even admit that. Like, it was not a great trailer.
You're talking about for Batman v Superman?
Yeah, the first trailer was not great. It didn't really sell the movie. This sells the movie.
No, 100%. Like, this movie, like, I mean, I was excited for it before, just because it's Batman v Superman, but this trailer has me absolutely stoked for it.
Like, oh, yeah. Like I said, it really... It shows a lot. We're still not sure what the plot of this movie is, which I did.
I know the plot of this movie. This fucking Batman gets pissed off. He's in retirement.
That's still... That's only part of this movie. You know that's not the full thing.
Oh, it's absolutely not. Okay.
We know parts of this movie, but we're still like... What's like... There's still a big driving force behind this movie that we're not aware of yet.
Well, how does Aquaman tie in? How does...
I think they're going to talk in. I think Aquaman will tie in almost none this time around. He will have his part, but I don't think he's going to be... I don't think he's going to be nearly as big of a part as people are potentially thinking he'll be. But Wonder Woman's place is definitely a little curious. We get our first shots of her here.
Stop the fight.
You think?
Yeah.
It's basically going to be...
Like, they're going to be fighting. She's going to show up and be like, what the fuck, guys? Basically.
We have bigger problems.
Yeah, exactly.
We do get our first shots of her as Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman here, and I think she looks pretty great.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
Ben Affleck as Batman looks fucking fantastic. Awesome.
As Bruce Wayne and as Batman, he's imposing.
He fits this part almost more, I'd say, than anybody else does.
And Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
That's fucking awesome.
Honestly, when I first saw the trailer, I didn't realize that was Alfred. It's like, in the back of my head, I knew Jeremy Irons was playing him.
Yeah.
But it seems like such a different take that it didn't click in my head that...
Well, you kind of have to, because like Michael Caine kind of mastered the fatherly Alfred.
Yeah.
To the point that doing a rehash of that didn't make a lot of sense, so I think they're kind of taking some cues from... Like Batman Earth 1 and Gotham kind of making Alfred this a little bit more hardened veteran.
I actually think, I don't know what I was reading, but someone pointed out that it might actually be like a brotherly Alfred.
Possibly.
You know, to where they're more compatriots than they are, you know, like just someone that took care of them as an adult.
We do get a shot of Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne, which is cool. I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan and him and Zack Snyder go back to Watchmen and things like that. Yeah. It's nice to see him find a part for him. We get some shots of Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. I like his take on it. It's different. It does not look like he's in a real estate plot.
Hopefully.
We do see some kryptonite, but I still like what I'm seeing. He really just kind of feels like Lex Luthor via Mark Zuckerberg, and I'm kind of fine with that. And he's got hair. I assume that'll be a... We know he's shaved his head, so I know it's going to be a...
He'll be bald at some point.
In the comics, that was one of the reasons Lex Luthor hated Superman, is because he made him lose his hair.
Yep.
Back when comics were wacky as fuck. But what else do we see? We do get Jeremy Irons as Alfred a little bit. I'm digging that.
I will kill millions of people, all because you took my hair from me.
Because I can't get transplants.
He's just doing my favor. He was a ginger, so...
Fuck off. I'll kill you in your sleep.
We see Zod shows up.
There's a brief Zod cameo, yes. We see Holly Hunter's new character.
I should point out that there's a brief Zod's body
cameo. Well, yeah.
We do see some flashbacks to the mayhem from Man of Steel featuring Bruce Wayne's side of it. That's, I think, the most interesting thing about this trailer, is that it kind of confirms that a lot of people's issues with Man of Steel are plot points within this film.
It's funny. Okay, the first time I saw Man of Steel, it's like opening night, I get out of that movie, and the first thing I fucking say, the only way they could ever save this shit is if in the next movie Batman shows up and kicks Superman in his ass for being such a dick.
I don't agree with your assessment there, but...
But it happened. You may not agree with it, but that's kind of the point of the movie, is that, like,
it's part of
Superman fucks shit up, and Batman's pissed, and he's gonna kill him.
Yeah, Superman just totally ran around Metropolis fucking shit up. He wasn't fighting another general.
I get that.
No, you get it, but you're totally... It's all Superman's fault, and he's a dick.
Well, that's from his perspective. He's the one that's saying, I gotta kill him.
You're saying it, too.
Here's the thing. It really seems like DC is trying to take a grounded, realistic take on superheroes.
Nothing about this is grounded or realistic.
Hear me out. Grounded in that Like, you don't see a Marvel movie where Iron Man's really held accountable for, like, the buildings and shit, or someone takes Captain America and says, hey, who's going to pay for all of this?
Right.
Like, it kind of seems like that's what they're trying to do.
I think, well, in all fairness, I think Man of Steel was definitely built with the future in mind, but I don't necessarily know if I would say that these things were done in Man of Steel with the sole purpose of them being expanded on later, I'm saying that my theory is that these happened. These were the major talking points in the first movie.
Yeah.
A lot of people's issues centered around the destruction and Superman's perceived lack of empathy towards those around him. So rather than run away from those, which is, like you said, kind of in a way what the Marvel movies tend to do.
Yeah.
There's this mass, like, I'm sorry, like, a lot of people said that the destruction in Avengers was not on par with that in Man of Steel. And I actually vehemently disagree with that. They wreck shit in Avengers. They just throw in three lines of dialogue about containing it, and that somehow made it all okay. I never bought that.
Yeah.
Like, I rewatched Avengers not long after that. I'm like, with all the giant fucking worms falling on buildings and shit, they wreck that
well,
fucking
thing.
No, it's not that. It's the show of the character. It's the showing Captain America going and helping people. It's them going out of their way to make sure that
you're able to do that.
Superman fucking returns and makes him go out of his way to save people.
Superman Returns is boring as fuck.
Yes, it is.
My friend Doug explained this movie to me very perfectly. The plot of Superman Returns is Superman progressively lifting heavier shit.
Yes.
Like, the movie should start off with him, like, lifting up the paper going, and then he finally's doing the airplane. And then finally at the end he's doing the fucking island. That's the plot of Superman Returns. Yeah. Now don't misunderstand me. The difference between Superman Returns and Man of Steel is that in Superman Returns, he is responding to natural disasters.
Yeah.
He is not fighting somebody in the midst of all of it.
Well,
it's not as apt a comparison.
This is, what, one of the first Superman movies where he's actually really fighting
This is
somebody?
The first Superman
yeah.
movie where he's physically opposed by somebody on a major level. Zod is in Superman 2, but their fight is like the girliest, slappiest fight between these god-powered characters.
You got the Atomic Man.
The less said about Superman 4, the better.
Hey, it still exists.
But it's still the fight. This was really the first one, though, where they made a serious point of showing Superman opposing somebody. All of those movies, it was a point, but they're like Superman 2. I love Superman 2. It's still really good. It doesn't hold up quite as well, but it's still pretty good, but one of the major points of that movie is that he never really fights Zod.
Yeah.
Zod's threat in that movie is almost from the threat of what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference, and they play it differently in Man of Steel, and it's would I have done things differently? Absolutely. I just don't think it's as cut and dry as it's made out to
be.
Look,
in all honesty, I get that Superman in this movie, I get why he doesn't save people and shit like that, too. Because in this movie, this Superman had shitty fucking parents. They were assholes. And in comics, everything else, like, that's where he gets his inspiration to be a good person.
The difference, too, again, is that he is fighting a relentless madman with his powers.
Let me finish where I'm going with this, though. In this one, like, it's kind of the opposite. When Superman decides that he's going to start helping people, it's because his dad told him not to. Okay? And it's his, and he let his dad die, and so on and so forth. And him saying, it was him basically realizing his mistake with his dad. And so he's like, okay, I'm gonna help you.
Right.
Like, fuck what he said, I'm gonna do
I
this.
I need to do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but because of that, he has no high moral upbringing. He hasn't been taught right from wrong his entire life. He hasn't had it hammered into his head that his job is to make sure to not let people get hurt. Because in other aspects, like you get the Christopher Reeve movies, that was always hammered home. It's like, you don't let people get hurt. And that's prime thing. It's not don't get seen, it's don't let them get hurt. You know? And this Superman doesn't have that. He doesn't. And that's why when I say Batman needs to come up and kick Superman's ass, I don't think he needs to kill Superman. I think he needs to teach him a fucking lesson. He needs to show up and knock some fucking sense into him and
but
say,
it's
hey,
a
look,
lesson
you have
that
all
I
of
think
this power.
He's already in the process of learning, because the other thing about Man of Steel that gets lost in the shuffle, this is like Superman's first day on the job.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, it's like, when he's Superman in the Christopher Reeve movies, he spends fucking 10 years in the fucking Fortress of Solitude talking to Jor-El about Kryptonian history and being a hero. With Man of Steel, it's very much, in a lot of ways, a trial by fire.
Yeah.
He basically is thrown into the deep end where, it, moral upbringing or not, he is faced with somebody with his same powers, but ruthless, relentless, and doesn't give a fuck. Like, the thing, and, like, this, I wouldn't go as far as to say that he doesn't have any morals, but it was more of a, it was more of a fight or flight kind of thing, where it's like, if I leave Zod, if I stop to do this, what does Zod do while I'm, like, he needed to stay in Zod's face, or it would have been infinitely worse.
Well, that's the thing, if I don't break Zod's neck, what's gonna happen?
Now, don't get me wrong, the Zod death scene is portrayed in a very poor way.
Yeah.
The climax they chose there is very poor, but...
I didn't have a problem with that, but I don't think that we need to go into that.
We can talk about Man of Steel for a long time, but either
we
way,
actually just move the fuck on.
The point there is that all of those issues, whether it was him being a terrible person, the massive destruction, whatever it was, those have been folded. Essentially, those have all been voiced seemingly through Batman.
Yeah.
And that sows his distrust of Superman in that he's not proven that he wants to. He's not proven that he wants to help people. All we really know is that he's caused a lot of destruction, and this guy is a massively unchecked power. And so they're funneling that through Batman. So it looks like, whether it was the original intention or not, the issues portrayed in Man of Steel have been folded into Batman Superman. And I think that if Batman Superman is awesome, is as awesome as it looks like it can be, that will retroactively help the image of Man of Steel.
Well, it's one of those weird things that I honestly don't think they'd even touch upon this in the sequel. If there wasn't, for whatever reason, some huge fan fervor about the destruction of Metropolis.
Well, in a way,
and
like I said, it makes sense to use them because they are good points and they do help seed an issue with Batman and Superman.
It does, but it's one of those things where
I think they're better for including it than ignoring it.
Yes.
Because like you said, like, you know, after with the Marvel movies, the consequences are always fairly downplayed because they're looking at the... Because, you know, at the end of Man of Steel, everyone was like, oh, well, he destroyed the city. And I'm like, well, this is a Marvel movie. Everyone would have been saying, oh, well, it was totally necessary. He had no choice. He had to do it. Like, that's how Marvel plays it.
Yeah.
Anytime there's some level of massive destruction, it's played off as a necessity.
But it's also
or
different.
They tried their best.
It's also different based on the power levels of the characters.
Yes.
It's like a lot of people have this image of Superman in their head as, well, he's Superman. He can do anything. He can save everyone. That's what he does. You know? So when he doesn't do that, I think that hurts.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That hurts
that
people's
really
perception
is.
Of the character.
Because we're like, he's godlike. He is God, and, you know. It's like,
what happens when a god fights a god?
Yeah, and I get
that. Well, I mean, look, I'm not justifying or
but either
or
way, I think it's a I even not hating Man of Steel, I think it's a good idea to fold those in. Well, no, I know you don't, but I know he does. But I'm saying feelings, positive or negative, regardless, folding those points and addressing them and making them part of this movie is a better decision because, like I said, if the people that had those issues in Man of Steel. Eventually, because all of the people that say they're not going to see this movie because they hate Man of Steel are liars. They will if they address them well enough in this and present a compelling enough argument to show that Superman realizes his mistakes, is doing all these things. Like I said, I think it will retroactively help the perception of Man of Steel.
Man of Steel is Superman Begins. Man of Steel is Superman Begins. The problem is most people don't want to see
They don't want Superman
they don't
Begins.
See
they want Superman
coming up. Yeah, they just want Superman.
And it's a different version. And it was not a version that everybody flocked to. And I'm a little bit surprised that Ma Kent's dialogue in this trailer isn't getting a little bit more traction because she kind of does a similar thing where she's just like, you know, you don't have to fucking do anything if you don't want to. Like you're saying, it's kind of that lack of that moral. But he has that kind of look on his face, like,
what's
like
wrong?
He kind of like that's not an option. Like,
yeah.
Like he has that kind of look where he's like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah,
like,
they've changed. They've made the roles of the Kents like kind of the exact opposite.
That's what I'm saying. It's more grounded because I would honestly think if like real parents, like in a real world situation, if their son or if their child had some sort of special ability. Whether it is. Yeah, you know, it's like...
What he means, I think, is...
You want to protect your kid.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, oh, okay, you have all these superpowers, you need to go out there and save people. It's like, man, like, you are...
In a 9/11 society, it's like, oh, God, what are they going to do to me?
Yeah, it's you are...
They're
going to
project Superman his ass, lock him in a cell for the rest of his life. And
exactly, but you worry about your son as a parent. And being that I am not a parent, I'm making these assumptions, but it seems to make sense. That's what I'm saying. It's a little
like I said, it makes sense in a way, but I can definitely agree that I think the approach was too abrasive to the point that it was jarring.
It comes off as rough.
It was jarring to hear Pa Kent say, well, maybe you should have let those kids die. Yeah. I got his point, which was... And the thing is, that conversation... Limiting it to that section of that conversation was a big disservice, because the whole thing isn't quite as bleak as, yeah, you should totally let those kids fucking die.
It's not as cut as dry as just saying...
But it's still presented in a way that Pa Kent is still... He's ingraining into him that protecting you is more important than protecting others.
Yes.
And so it's still a parental approach, and it's still an approach that safety is the point, mm-hmm. but it's safety for the other person. It's safety for Superman, not the other people. And it's a different take, admittedly, that I don't necessarily think was handled the way that it should have been. I'm not opposed to a different take on the Kents. I mean, I'm not opposed to doing something a little bit differently. But, you know, when you've made, you know, you made six Superman movies and eight Batman movies.
Well,
I'm not opposed to doing it a little different.
Comics,
but,
too, you know.
I mean, it's Man of Steel is rough around the edges. I won't pretend it's anything not.
To put that
in a nutshell, if they do what they look like they're doing, I think it will help the perception of Man of Steel.
I'm looking forward to this.
Everything I'm seeing for Batman Superman so far looks pretty great. This trailer just really drives it home.
Yeah.
It shows everything. This one hit all the right beats.
No, this was what they needed. This was a fucking grand slam.
Yeah. This does it for me because it's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're right, I'm not a big fan of Man of Steel, but as I said, if Batman shows up and is like, hey man, you got some problems, I'll be a happy person. And that's exactly what the plot of the fucking movie is, pretty much.
Yep.
So I'm a happy person.
Alright, we're done with Batman Superman, let's move on to Suicide Squad. So yeah, the trailer for Suicide Squad was pretty awesome. I really dug it.
Yeah, Suicide Squad looks pretty fucking cool.
This was another, you know, grand slam for DC. Because I think, like, based on the images, based on everything that we'd seen, it's like, everything kind of looked cool, but especially the fan reaction to the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think this sells it a lot more than just the still images.
Yeah.
You know, because it looks better in motion. Like, his voice sounds cool, his mannerisms, the way he looks.
Works. Yeah, it's like, just because I don't like his tattoos or I don't like his teeth, doesn't mean I'm not going to like his performance.
His teeth actually kind of makes sense.
You're right, actually. I mean, as somebody that works on teeth, it makes perfect fucking sense, because he would have fucking lost those motherfuckers by now.
Yeah.
You know?
Many times.
Many times, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, especially with looking like this version of Batman's a lot more brutal, it makes sense that he'd have punched the Joker's teeth out a couple of times by now.
Not even the being brutal, just the fact that, I mean, look, fucking Batman, he's huge. Just one punch and he's wearing gauntlets. He's not really wearing gloves.
Yeah. But we get our first looks in motion a lot of these characters, because I know the first still images of this movie didn't necessarily sell people. I did hear some detractors about this one too, but I disagree with them and I think they're full of shit. But But so far, like I said, we see our first looks at Harley. I dig the way Harley's another one that I think when I see the performance combined with the look, it works.
Yeah. Some people were saying that they're a little disappointed that she doesn't have that kind of Boston accent.
Whatever. We get our first looks at everybody else. We get a pretty good look at Deadshot, and he's got his white mask and everything.
Yep.
Looks pretty cool. We got our looks at Boomerang, Enchantress. They do a little bit of some hints towards Enchantress's backstory. You see her kind of standing in that cave, all sorts of stuff like that, with kind of some looks at her, Cara Delevingne.
Yeah.
You can see her in The Fault in the Stars, or not The Fault in Our Stars, Paper Towns out this weekend. everything in that trailer, I do.
I really like the whole strapping Harley Quinn to the fucking table when he's like, I'm going to hurt you really, really bad. Like, I wonder if that's like the birth of Harley.
Possibly.
You know?
It's very possible. And I don't think it's a stretch at all to think that Joker might be the catalyst behind the formation of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he's
in this version, and I think that's fine.
Definitely the catalyst.
Yeah.
And that's why Harley's there, because she's got a direct connection, and that's why Batman shows up briefly, because we see Batman in this trailer. And I think they said Bruce Wayne was seen on the set, so Yeah. Or Ben Affleck was seen on the set.
Show him in the fucking
Ben Affleck just become. Well, they show Batman. They don't
he's
show
on
Bruce
the. He's the on car. The car. Yeah,
it's probably a stunt double, but no. So far, like every, I think it hits all the right notes.
And it really seems like the beginning of the trailer, they show Viola Davis as
and she looks like she's nailing it.
Waller. Yeah,
she looks like she's crushing it.
I love that line where we put them in the hole and we threw away the hole.
Yeah,
like, that sounds like something she would say.
And that Bee Gees cover they got rocking is pretty cool.
Yeah,
almost was that old like 30s, 40s cover of a Bee Gees song. Didn't see it coming, but yeah, that's really all I got to say about it. It just looks really.
Was it King Shark?
Yeah, King Shark's in it. We get a look at Killer Croc. El Diablo.
Yeah, we still haven't seen King Shark.
We have not.
Huh.
I guess you've seen him in the picture, like the big group image they released.
Was he there?
No, I don't think he was.
No, you're right.
Croc's in that one. So those were the big DC trailers. They also very much announced that apparently the Green Lantern movie coming in 2020 is now called Green Lantern Corps, and is seemingly reinforcing the dirt sheets rumor that we won't just have one Green Lantern in this movie.
Yeah.
That is possible we get Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart or some combination of them.
Nice. Hell, we can get all of them. Kyle Rayner, Guy Gardner.
I'd be down with Guy Gardner. Then again, if everybody in the DC Cinematic Universe is an asshole, maybe we should be the biggest asshole. Yeah.
Batman to punch him in the face.
Yeah, but no, so Suicide Squad's hitting all the right notes for me. I think Leto's Joker is looking pretty great. It's one of those things that benefited from seeing it like in motion and seeing his performance.
Yeah.
For me, it all just makes a lot more sense now.
I don't like the fact that they released that image and then said, no, that's not his actual look. This was just a
promotion. A 75th anniversary.
And then they released a trailer, and it's totally an image.
In all fairness, nobody from WB was saying it wasn't his final look. That was insiders. That was insider crap that got carried as news.
Gotcha. Well, whatever it was, they should.
Whatever it was,
they
got it wrong. It's hardly the first time it's happened, and I doubt it'll be the last time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Suicide Squad looking great, but Marvel Studios didn't attend, but some of the other Marvel groups got in and had some fun showing some footage as well. The first of which was the final trailer for the new Fantastic Four movie, and it's another one where the reaction has been pretty mixed, but overall, I really enjoyed it. Like, I think that, like, if this movie is indicative of all of what this movie's going to be like, I'm down with it, outside the funky-ass Doctor Doom from The Grid.
Yeah, I'm also a little, like, looking at the Thing. I wish they'd throw some pants on him.
He has no goddamn thing.
He has no thing.
The Thing has no thing.
Look, that's the... I get it. I'm not worried about his dong. I'm just saying that, like, put some pants on him. Like, just fucking make him more comic booky.
Yeah.
Being a giant rock monster isn't comic booky enough for you.
Put the pants on. That makes it comic book. Being a rock monster just makes it.
It makes me feel even worse for him. It was one thing when it was, like, androgynous and you just didn't know whether or not he had a rock dick or not. Now we know that it's just not quite smooth, but not, you know, anything else there.
That's it. It could just be like a turtle where it just kind of pops out of somewhere, and it's like,
God, it's just even worse. Just really put some pants on.
I'm glad that when we're watching a Fantastic Four movie, we're actually just really concerned that the Thing can't get it on anymore.
You notice that every comic he's in, he's got pants on, or at least, like, underwear.
He gets married.
Okay.
His fingers are pretty
huge.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
You guys are ridiculous.
No.
Nonetheless, Doom looks like he's made out of metal, and that kind of looks weird.
He looks better than what's his face.
He does.
It's still, but it looks like he's. It looks like. I mean, I know that a lot of people were saying it was this blogger hacker thing, but it looks like he actually.
No, I did read about that, and
he's saying that he's straight up. This is Doom. This is not any.
Yeah.
There's no Doom. There's
mom
no illusions
is
here.
A gypsy, so on and so forth. But he says that. In the movie, he's kind of almost raised by Dr. Storm. And
he's part of the think tank. And
yeah, he views
that
Storm
kind
of a father figure.
That gives a little bit more precedence for his hatred of Richard, specifically.
It makes a little more
because
it's
the kind of thing where, like, he was the hotshot, and then Richards comes in and outshines him. And so it builds that contempt a lot better than just being like, oh, no, this thing stuck to my face because of you that I shouldn't have put on in the first place.
I really like the idea that... underneath his face, he's fine. He just has like a tiny little scar on his cheek, and that's why he wears the mask. Because
that's
just so
that's the exact same thing they did with Kane in the WWE. Like, he takes his mask off, He was all burned and scarred. That's why we're thinking that he finally took his mask off, and the guy was just like, dude, there's nothing wrong with you. And he was like, look at my, like, just freaked out, was like, look at my face, this. And it was just like, there's nothing wrong with your fucking face, man. But
even better if it wasn't even a little scar. It was just, like, in his head.
Like, yeah.
But anyway, the trailer looks solid. One thing that did bother me, though, is in, like, halfway through the trailer, Reed says, we're a family, or mm-hmm. something along those lines. And, like, the tagline, or, like, the final words that come out is, there's strength, and it says in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
In family! Like, just put in family. The Fantastic Four has been built as, like, the first family.
But strength in numbers, Fantastic Four.
Strength in family, Fantastic Four. It's
numbers! Four.
I understand numbers and four.
And also the
right?
saying is not the strength in family. The saying is
numbers.
The strength
it doesn't
in numbers.
Fucking matter. You don't have to, like, there's no precedence for what, oh god, the saying. Who cares?
It's what sounds
exactly, like. Vince. Who
yeah,
cares?
I care, apparently.
Yes,
well,
you're,
right?
And you're getting very loud about this.
Well, I, like, you guys are acting like this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever said. Like,
we're saying
one of.
Shut the fuck up.
Our point is not that it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever said. We think that it's a very trivial thing
it's
to
petty.
Take issue
it's
with.
It's petty. I know that. I'm just saying, like, when I saw this trailer, I watched Ant-Man on Sunday night. They showed this trailer in front of Ant-Man. And when it came up, like, the first thing I screamed out is strength and family. Like, they hammer home that they're a family.
They make, like, they say it once. It's not like
it
it's this
matter.
Overriding
look,
theme.
Look, if you've read Fantastic Four comics at any point... In the past fucking 60
years. We're not talking
years.
About a comic. We're talking about this trailer for
and
this
I'm
movie.
And I'm talking about a movie that's based on a comic.
But the
I
trailer
think your
is...
argument holds no merit whatsoever.
The
saying is there's strength in numbers.
And it's called Fantastic Four.
Fantastic
it's why they
four.
Did it that way.
Yeah.
He makes a point to
numbers.
Say we're a family
Fantastic
because,
four.
Yes.
But yeah.
He makes a point to say we're a family.
To Marvel, them being the first family of Marvel, so on and so forth. So they made the reference. And that's it.
But it's not like the whole trailer is just about how they're a family. He just says it at one point. It just seems like a weird thing to, like, watch a trailer and be like, no, that, no, no.
It is.
Shut the fuck up. Don't tell me to give up. All right? I'm just saying that strength and family would have made sense, too.
No.
Oh, shut up, Jesse.
Well, if they had said blood is thicker than water, then yeah, that would have worked better. But they didn't. They said strength and number.
But only half of them are related. That doesn't hold as much water.
But they're family, so it doesn't matter.
What?
You know, they're the
moving
first family.
On.
Moving on. Wow, that got that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast. All right, so next up, we're looking into some leaked footage now, but we're still going to talk about it. So if you are not wanting to hear about these next things, jump forward about 10 minutes.
We're fucking bad.
So the first trailer was X-Men Apocalypse, the possibly final chapter of the original and still current X-Men timeline that they've been continuing in various forms for 15 years now. But
we're on a new timeline.
Sort of.
Due to Days of Future Past. It's a totally new timeline.
But I we know that this is some of these people's last movie. Like Jennifer Lawrence, I think she said this is her last X-Men movie, things like that. So
yeah, but I think...
There's been some... They could easily keep it going if they wanted, but...
From what I understand, McAvoy and... who plays Magneto?
Fassbender.
Are pretty much... said they'll do another one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this...
And they introduced, like, a whole new wave of cast that could be...
Yeah, they described it as the birth of the X-Men, is what they were saying.
All they'd really need to do is just find somebody new to play Wolverine, which causes some issues because they showed that Jackman is still Wolverine here, but they've dealt with worse problems before.
Yeah.
Just get Clint Eastwood's kid to do it. He looks just like him. I'm not even kidding.
Does he have the acting chops?
It's Wolverine, man. You just gotta sit around and grunt.
Smoke a cigar and say bub and stab people.
I could be Wolverine if I was with a Friar.
Stab.
Bub, stab, drink beer, smoke. but no, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I mean, we get some. It's a lot of. He said this is based off only 5 weeks of shooting, so there's not a whole lot of substance here. We do get our first looks at Apocalypse. A lot of people have issues with that. I don't.
I think it looks fine, but I also do see, like, when people say he looks like Ivan Ooze, it's like, you see it.
I see it just because it's fucking purple.
It's funny. It's funny.
Yeah, I get it too. But it's,
I don't have a problem.
It's purple. It is the shade that he is. It's like, oh yeah, he's the exact same shade as Evans right now.
Well, I've seen a lot of people that are like, they're posting pictures of like cosplay apocalypse, and they're like, that awkward moment when cosplayers did better than the Hollywood studio. I was like, that costume in motion would look like shit. Huh. The classic apocalypse costume, like if I saw that in a movie, I'd probably think he looked ridiculous.
I wouldn't, but I don't think this one looks bad.
I mean, the thing is, I guess going back to comparisons to the Marvel movies, you can do it. Like, where there's a will, there's a way. You can make Apocalypse's costume, like, traditional costume work. But it doesn't matter. I mean, Apocalypse in the movie looks fine. The funny thing is, one of my friends, actually, she was like, she texted me. She's like, you know, I don't really think Olivia Munn is hot enough to play Psylocke. And I was like, dang.
Man, that's fucked. She looks pretty good in the still.
I think she looks great. But I was just like, and then coming from another girl, mm-hmm. just be like,
Mohawk Storm looks fucking awesome.
Okay, honestly, what I like about this movie is so far it's the first one they've actually had like costumes. Like the villain actually has like a costume rather than
like
just, Nito
like, looks like he's got a suit.
Yeah, like
so
rather than
Storm.
Just black leather.
So
you
does,
know,
so does Psylocke. So does
it looks like Apocalypse and his minions, which is I think Caliban, Psylocke,
the Horsemen are
it's Angel,
Storm, Angel. Magneto
and Psylocke. Which I'm fine with. They all look like they have some level of costume.
In all honesty, I kind of wish they hadn't gone with Storm, they'd like gone with Caliban instead. Just so you could have the one that dies. Because it kind of makes sense. But I get it.
Magneto. Duh.
He'll come back. He gets better. But no, I'm digging like a Jubilee, like all the footage and stuff. Jubilee looks
fucking awesome.
And, yeah. Like, we got our first looks at the new Nightcrawler, Jean, mm-hmm. Scott, Storm. We see Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Holt, McAvoy, Fassbender. We see all the returning people. We get good looks at everybody, and we get a good sense of kind
well,
of the tone.
Good quotes that
that's
trailer.
That's a trailer, but yeah.
Rough.
Yeah.
But I'm liking what we're seeing, and I think this is another one that's, if it's as good as Days of Future Past, then I've got no problems with it. Because that one was pretty fucking boss. So
yeah, I want to see the rogue cut of that movie. I've actually heard it's better than the original movie.
I heard it's not necessarily better, but it's also not worse. It just adds more.
I think it's just different. But so that one's that, and the other one that came out was the Deadpool footage. And I thought the Deadpool trailer was pretty great.
Yeah, it's really good.
The Deadpool trailer is like, I'm so goddamn excited for this fucking movie.
I know there's some people that have had issues with the fact that he swears, but there are Deadpool comics where he swears, so...
Like, all of them.
Yeah, there's that one where he's like, don't swear, I don't like you because you swear. And all the others are like, I swear, because almost all of his comics is just bleeped out all the fucking time.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That would be actually funny if they, on the DVD, mm-hmm. if they had, like, a
censored cut
or something,
yeah.
where it was, like, everything was just, like, kind of censored, like...
Honestly, I would have been fine if they had ended up going the PG-13 route. If
they just censored everything.
No, well, yeah, but they censored it, and Deadpool could hear the bleeps. Like if Deadpool's
like
what the hell was that?
Uh-huh.
Why the fuck does it make a bleep sound every time I say bleep? You know, he's like, you see? And then everybody's like, what the fuck are you talking about? See, it's it right there. And
yeah,
we can move on.
That would be pretty
funny. Fucking hilarious.
But I dig it. I'm not sure why Colossus is in this movie, but okay.
Well, maybe
and
Teenage Warhead. That's funny. That's just like a
yeah.
little bit where he's just like, hey, that's so cool. It's like
the coolest name
make
ever.
Like teenage, what?
Oh, you're
it's
leaving me here with less
ever.
Angry Rosie O'Donnell. I just think my favorite line is that one being where it's just like, you look like an avocado had sex with an older avocado. But it's another one where like it hit all the right points. I mean, it was very much made for a crowd. It's not been officially released. That Ryan Reynolds, I think, said wait about 3 weeks when it came out, and I think
an official cut.
Yeah, because it comes out in fucking February, so they better start ramping this shit up.
Like, if I had one problem with it, it's that it seems like the humor is going to be very lowbrow. I guess.
Is that really unexpected, though?
It's not. It's not unexpected, but. That's not really my style of humor. I mean, I'll watch the movie.
But that's just, for me, that's just Deadpool. That's
Deadpool, that's
just
yeah.
what he is.
Yeah.
He's a lowbrow comedian. He's a super violent Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And,
or like an ultra-agile Wolverine, however you want to put it.
Or a very funny Deathstroke.
All of the above.
Considering he started off as Deathstroke.
Yes, he did.
Totally did. But anyway, it looks really good. And now we're going to transition pretty quickly into some of the TV stuff we've got going on.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and the first up on the TV side of things is some stuff for Arrow Season 4. They're on the fourth season. Holy crap.
I know, right?
Who thought a Green Arrow show would have gone to fourth? Oh, then again, when you co-opt everything about Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel like it's been four seasons because I pretty much...
Don't count it until The Flash started?
Well, no. I started watching Arrow, like, maybe a week into Season 3. So, like, I just burned through it because I got sick one weekend, and I was like, fuck, I'm just going to watch this.
Okay. But, yeah, so Arrow is going to be getting a new costume, giving him more of a New 52-ish look, going with the leather kind of look with the sleeveless. And he apparently will be called Green Arrow this season.
Finally.
Seriously, it's only taken...
I mean, in fucking Season 2, he's like, I don't think the Vigilante's a good name. He holds up a Green Arrow, and the next thing you know, I'm Arrow. And I'm like, God fucking damn it.
So
but why?
but why? But some new stuff. Mr. Terrific's gonna be coming to the show. A little bit more of the although with some stuff on the Flash we might be getting. It's quite a society they're building here.
Justice Society, you might say.
That's the joke. But Anarchy, famous Batman, we're talking about Batman. Anarchy's going to be jumping onto the show, and so is Damian Dark, played by, Dumb Duggan?
Neil McDonough.
He's playing Damian Dark.
He also plays the bad guy in that god-awful Street Fighter movie that came out a couple years ago.
Oh, the Chun-Li one?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because fucking Raul Julia was the villain in the first one.
Yeah, not the good one. Good Street Fighter movie.
Whoa.
No, I said
good is no.
I said the good Street Fighter movie.
That movie's not a good Street Fighter movie. Let's go find a guy from Europe to play the American blonde soldier. Street Fighter. Anyway,
Guile was played by Van Damme.
Yeah, Van Damme, who was very much not an American soldier. So yeah, we got Anarchy and Damian Dark showing up, and they're being added to the show. And according to Stephen Amell and some of the producers on the show, Constantine is a possibility. Apparently, the Arrow group was a fan of the show, and they are apparently interested in trying to make it happen, which I'm totally down with. I would absolutely love if, because it's a DC property, I'm sure that now that the show's canceled, they can get access to the character, and why the fuck not bring the same guy back in?
And, I mean, they're basically saying since this season's going to play more on mysticism and magic and stuff like that, it kind of makes more sense.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
So, it's cool.
I'm down with that as well. So, some cool stuff coming to Arrow kind of makes me want to get back and watch all the show. Because that happened.
Yeah.
I do know he died halfway through Season 3, or he got stabbed. I guess he got better.
It's the moment he realized where he wasn't Bruce Wayne.
It's, oh, shit.
Bruce Wayne. He gets stabbed in the chest, and he, like, looks up, and he's like, oh, wait. I'm not Batman.
If I were Batman, this wouldn't have happened. But anyway,
I fucked up.
I've made a huge mistake. But anyway, some Flash stuff. Jay Garrick is coming, played by Teddy Sears, who you know from, I have no fucking clue.
I don't know who Teddy Sears is.
But he's a little bit older. He's in his upper 30s. So they're not going the... Grant Gustin's, like, younger than I am.
I know,
like 25.
I know. It's funny. He's a little bit older. He's, like, 30-something.
He's almost 40. So they're going older with Jay Garrick, but they're not going that much older.
Yeah.
They're not going John Wesley Shipp old, who's well into his 50s, although is still in enough shape to be kicked my fucking ass.
He's got movie star money.
Does he?
TV star money.
He's got TV star money.
He's got guest star money.
He does.
he's been on TV money.
And they also made some... Originally, it was like some implications that there would be some Wally West things happening, but then they seemed to come out and confirm straight up that Wally West is a very big possibility for the season as well.
I'm interested in what they're going to do with
how they play
Zoom is coming.
Yes, well, we're getting there.
I'm not reading this shit.
You're not. Obviously. But, so we'll get to Zoom in a second. But, it's interesting. It is going to be interesting to see how they play Wally West, if they're going to go with the classic route or kind of use the more recent New 52 version.
Well, I'm assuming based on the fact that
it would be more in line with New 52. Unless he's from another dimension or something.
Well, it could be. I mean, they're saying Earth. Wally West is going to be there, but I don't think they specifically said he's going to be
the
a
Flash
speedster.
Or anything. Yeah.
So he could be like a young Wally, like a nephew or
anything. You
know, someone younger than
you could play that. I do want to limit. I mean, I don't want to have them explode and have like five speedsters on this season of the show. I think they still kind of need to take it slow, and I think Jake Eric's a nice way to kind of ease into this idea.
Yeah.
That there's a bunch of Flashes out there.
It's kind of funny that considering Max Mercury has been teased. Or not teased,
Mercury
but
Labs.
Name
Mercury
yeah.
Labs, yeah.
That they didn't just have Max Mercury show up, but
Jake Garrick's got the bigger name value.
Yeah.
He also, and he is another Flash, so I'm wondering. I mean, if they do a Flash of Two Worlds episode,
Jesus,
they are totally going to do a Flash of Two Worlds episode.
I don't think you just say these things like definite. They're definitely
definitely
been right so far.
Have you?
Yeah.
Anyway, Patty Spivot,
surprisingly enough,
who is a more recent introduction to the Flash canon in the comics. I think she was introduced during John's short return before Flashpoint.
Okay.
She's going to be introduced as Joe West's new partner, replacing Eddie Thawne, who met his untimely demise at the end of, or very timely, technically, demise at the hands of himself at the end of season one, which sent Tom Cavanaugh's Harrison Wells into an unstable state. But Tom Cavanaugh is apparently returning in some capacity. I'm not sure if he'll be coming back as the real Harrison Wells or if they will find a way to keep using Ewart Vaughn in some capacity. I mean, I'm sure they can. It's time travel and the Flash and dimensions and shit.
Yeah.
So. But speaking of Zoom, season two, Big Bad is Zoom, seemingly missing the Professor moniker. This, to me, implies that it is the Hunter Zolomon Zoom. And not Professor Zoom. Although they never called Ewart Vaughn. They ever call Ewart Vaughn Professor Zoom?
No.
I thought they did.
No.
I feel like I've heard someone then call him Professor Zoom before.
No. Just Reverse Flash.
Yeah, Reverse Flash. They call him
Wait. Are we talking about in the show or
yeah.
the comics?
In the show.
Okay, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah, Ewart Vaughn in the show. In
like,
the comics is Professor Zoom, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, there's
no
talk about that, yeah.
I'm not as well-versed
in the show, I don't think anybody calls him that. That's my,
yeah.
That was my point.
But I was under the impression that Ewart Vaughn was Professor Zoom. So I guess
Ewart Vaughn is Professor Zoom.
Okay.
But there is a second different character called Zoom that was introduced specifically to oppose Wally West, as Ewart Vaughn was specifically for Barry Allen.
Gotcha.
Basically, Hunter in the Flash comics, Hunter Zolomon is a psychological profiler who's brought into the Central City Police Department to help them with the resurgence of the classic rogues and the new rogues as well. During an incident in Iron Heights, he loses the use of his legs, which kind of sends him down this very dark path where he asks the Flash to go back in time and save his legs and save kind of his livelihood. And the Flash says, I can't do that. He's like, I can't just go back and save your legs. It's not how it works.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't care. You need to help me. You need to help me. I've done all this stuff to help you. You have to. He just became very obsessive about it. To the point that he tried to use the cosmic treadmill himself, and it exploded and basically turned him not so much into somebody that runs fast, but somebody that controls like the speed of the
time
stream.
Yes.
So it's not that he's
that's
moving.
Why he's always faster, is because he's literally just slowing down time.
Yeah. So he was fat, and then he got demented in this way, and that he felt he needed to make Wally West a better Flash. So he caused him, like he caused his wife to miscarry their children, and he caused all this mayhem and ruckus and caused all these problems for the Flash. And
so
basically what Reverse Flash did in the TV show.
Okay, so yeah. I was about to say, it seems like they're kind of...
Yeah,
they dovetailed a lot of Zoom's motivations into Thawne, in that Thawne needed Barry to be better to help himself. But Zoom was more of he was doing what he was doing because he wanted Barry to be better in general. It wasn't for his personal gain, it was because his twisted mind was telling him, this is what you need to do to be the better Flash. And John's fucking teased a whole bunch of shit with Zoom and Professor Zoom and Flash Rebirth, and he never fucking did anything with it.
Fucker. Flashpoint.
God damn it. Woo! Calm down. That was loud.
Sorry,
it was very loud. But anyway, it is Zoom. They show a trailer, and you see this kind of blue streak running around the city. I don't know if they'll be changing up the color scheme, because Zoom dresses exactly the same way Professor Zoom did, except it was all yellow. It was not like the show, but it was all yellow. But he's apparently faster than Flash and Reverse Flash. If they do use his time stream origin, then that's why, because he's not running fast as much as he's just slowing time around it.
I just love that, you know, there's gonna be a, I feel like there's gonna be a scene where Flash is gonna be like, how fast do I have to go, and Cisco's gonna be like, really fast, and like that's it,
it's gonna be it. But So the Flash has also got a new costume. We got to look at it.
Yeah.
It's got the white emblem now. We're a little bit lining up, and it is a little bit more synonymous with the Future Barry stuff we've seen. Mm-hmm. All I need to do now is make it a little bit brighter red, and we're set to go. Mm-hmm. But anyway, like all this stuff is like exciting the shit out of me for season two.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying that they're going with another speedster as the big bad for the season. It's a different speedster, though. I mean, I'm not going to make any snap judgments or anything, but you know. When you've got, like, all the rogues at your disposal and everything, I think what they're going to do is spend season two building up more of the rogues, and then season three might be, like, a big rogue-centric season, where the rogues kind of finally start making their play.
Well, what I'm interested in seeing is what's the show going to do once the Flash movie kicks into gear? Like, are they just going to keep going with it?
Yeah, I assume they would. Yeah. I don't know why they'd stop.
Well, I'm just, you know, I mean, DC...
I thought they canceled the Flash movie.
No.
Okay.
Warner Brothers has...
And somebody was asking Ezra Miller about it at Comic-Con, about how he feels about being in it, and he was actually like, "It's like, dude, I'm pumped as shit." And they were like, "Do you watch The Flash with Grant Gustin?" He's like, "Yeah, man, it's awesome." He's like, "I'd race him."
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could do The Flash of Two Worlds.
Three Worlds.
You could do The Flash of Two Worlds where Ezra Miller and Grant Gustin do a crossover. I'd be down with that.
The reason I bring it up is because Warner Brothers has been, like, historically, they've had a problem with having multiple versions of their characters running around, like whether it be TV
when Smallville was on, they still put out Superman Returns, and Gotham's out. It's not going to stop them from putting out Batman stuff.
Yeah, I know. But
I think they've reached a point where they realize that people are smart enough to realize that they're two different things.
Yeah,
and kind of go from there. But I'm excited as shit for the second season.
I'm excited as fuck.
Jay Garrick alone would have excited me, but Jay Garrick and. Anyway, Hawkman has been revealed to be joining Legends of Tomorrow, which will also feature Captain Cold and Heatwave. I hope they still factor into The Flash, but having them in that show is pretty cool.
They said that it's all going to be tied in together very nicely.
Yeah, and actually the reason Robbie Amell might not be on Legends of Tomorrow is apparently because he's in the new X-Files show.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so good for him. He was in something else I just saw recently. I don't remember what it was. Yeah, all the CW stuff is looking pretty fucking cool. I'm down with it. I'm ready for it, and Flash Season 2 can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
I'm ready. My body is ready. Speaking of Supergirl, which I liked the trailer for.
I fucking love the trailer for Supergirl.
Same here.
Apparently, one of our big bads, we're going to have Reactron and Livewire set to appear as villains during the first season, but one of our big bads might be Maxwell Lord.
They didn't actually say Maxwell Lord was going to be a bad guy.
Well, I'm saying one of the big bads may be Maxwell Lord.
Yeah.
They may play up the duality of his character, kind of do the whole thing where he's on their side for the start, and then you kind of realize he's got his own things that he's working on. But it's pretty cool, and it shows that even Supergirl's not shying away from expanding out and using other characters. And it's the same executive producers as The Flash and Arrow, so I think he's smart enough to kind of keep them all separate and not have too much of a crossover unless that's a cool thing that happens, which would be awesome. Jessica Jones is going to be still expected to be released late this year. And images released of Luke Cage on fire and Jessica Jones put him out show that Cage will have indestructible skin and very much the Cage is part of his show.
Yeah.
Not seemingly in a minor way.
Yeah.
But Jessica Jones is... we'll check. I mean, it's not like we're not going to watch it. It's not one of those things that, like, I'm eagerly anticipating it, but...
I'm not excited about it like it was with Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still going to watch it.
Definitely not.
I mean, if it's anything near as good as the Alias series was, it's going to be awesome.
I wasn't a huge fan of the Alias series, but hopefully it's good.
I was.
I know you were. You've said it before. Maybe I'll reread it one day. But and a few things about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. Moving forward, Skye's name is officially Daisy, and her code name will indeed be Quake, kind of confirming her Inhuman stuff. The group's name will be the Secret Warriors, but which group is this referring to?
Yeah, they just said the group's name. I don't know who the hell they were talking about.
They said the Secret Warriors are going to be part of it, so that's pretty cool.
It'll be Skye's group, isn't it? Because I'm sure, like, Coulson will still have... There will still be S.H.I.E.L.D. and shit like that.
Yeah.
But he's going to have his group of caterpillars.
Yeah.
You know, and call them the Secret Warriors.
And in further Inhuman news, Lash is going to be joining the show with the ability to absorb, convert, and manipulate energy. I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. How cool is this?
It's fucking cool.
It's cool, man. Like, honestly...
The second season was fucking cool, man.
Season one, it's one of those shows where if it didn't have, like, the Marvel branding... probably wouldn't have made it past like fucking 7 episodes or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
But halfway, not even halfway, like the last fourth of the first season, it really picks up because it starts to tie into the MCU as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
I really enjoy all the Deadlock stuff.
Yeah. That was cool too.
So
and
can I skip parts of season one, or do I need to power through it?
I think you could skip, honestly. I mean, if it's it won't hurt if you power through it.
I could, like jump in for the last 6 episodes.
I would watch more than that.
It's not bad. It's just not as, like, with, if you were comparing it to, like, Season 1 of The Flash, or hell, even Season 1 of Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s definitely, you know.
Man, I'd watch the entire season. You'll suffer through maybe 5 or 6 episodes before it starts to really pick up.
Absolutely.
But it is a lot of, like, character building and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's stuff that pays off.
We don't need any of that. Get the fuck out of here.
But anyway, the season two. Season two pretty much takes off.
Yeah, it keeps going and it just doesn't stop.
It maintains, like, a level of, it's just badass throughout.
Yeah.
You know,
I will say. Much better than season one.
Well, I'll get to it eventually. There's a lot of stuff I'm watching. Anyway, we got a couple of other trailers. We're not going to talk about them too heavily. We got 2 Walking Dead trailers. We got Walking Dead Season 6, and we have the Fear the Walking Dead premiere trailer. Fear the Walking Dead is still a fucking dumb title.
Yes.
It's.
I have no interest whatsoever in Fear the Walking Dead. I'll watch Walking Dead, and I'll still be, you know, I love that show, don't get me wrong, but I don't care. I don't. It's just another fucking zombie show. I got the Walking Dead, I'm good enough.
Well, I'm interested in Fear the Walking Dead just because it's a different take on that universe, because it starts off, I think, when the initial outbreak occurs. Like, it seems like they still think it's some sort of virus or some sort of flu or some sort of sickness that they can quarantine and stuff like that. They don't really know the severity of it. So I think it's interesting to explore that world or the world from that angle. And they also said further down the line, like, the two shows are going to cross. Maybe not, like have an actual crossover, but they will eventually be, like, the same time. You know, going on at the same time. So I guess there's going to be jumps in Fear the Walking Dead. But, I mean, I think the Walking Dead universe is interesting. And to see, like, to really focus on what's going on in, like, major cities. Because, like, the Walking Dead kind of did it. But it was still more from the outskirts, like they had already gotten out of the city. They didn't really show you what was going on when people were actively.
I know Dusty expressed some displeasure at this giving the origin of it, but I don't know if it's going to actually explain why as much as it's going to explain the how.
Maybe not even the how, but just like the.
Like the. Not maybe not even the how as much as the. What's. Like the what.
Yeah.
Like what happened in those kind of. 6 months. It's still not necessarily something people want to see, kind of going back. It's interesting that that's where they're starting, is like going back to the beginning, which is something Kirkman has said he'll never do in The Walking Dead himself. But I'm super behind on The Walking Dead, too.
Yeah.
The only comic book show I'm caught up on is The Flash, really.
Jeez.
And, I mean, I picked a good one, but The Flash is one of my favorite characters, so to kind of finally see him getting his due on TV. Because that first Flash show was fucking badass, so I was super excited about this one, and they nailed it. Like, I don't think there's a single episode of The Flash in season one that I disliked. So I'm down with it. And it's been pretty great, so I've been enjoying it. But I do need to go back and start rewatching some of these other ones, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I at least want to watch the episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that cross over, but I don't think I can just watch those on their own and understand
them. Well,
really.
The funny thing is that now that you have Winter Soldier on Blu-ray, you can pretty much just watch them, because like there's an episode that takes place right before the Nick Fury scene where they attack him, and then like the follow-up episode is kind of fallout from what happens when
S.H.I.E.L.D. being destroyed.
You know, and it's actively, like, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. hunt. It's a Hydra hunt, basically.
Yeah.
You know, or a S.H.I.E.L.D. hunt, depending on what's, you know.
Which way you're looking at it. So, yeah, it's... I'll get to those eventually. There was also an extended trailer for Heroes Reborn. And the crowd goes mild.
Is anyone...
I loved season one and
everyone
season two
did.
Of Heroes.
Yeah. Oh, I hated season
I hate,
two.
Season two, I didn't love season two.
Season two suffered massively from the writer's strike,
yes.
And I don't think it ever recovered.
No,
season one ended had this insane momentum going out of it, and then season two got crushed by the writer's strike, and it never recovered.
Honestly don't think you can blame the writer's strike, because
no,
there was a lot
can't.
Of other things.
Because, look,
dude, there
were
a lot of
two,
other television shows that then suffered
no,
as
look,
bad
look, they'd
as
already they'd already recorded two episodes of part two for season two.
So
because I've watched, like, I mean, I had this on DVD.
Yeah, and
that
season of Lost is a great teaser.
But, like, they'd already recorded in, like, okay, the end of season two, he saves the vial. He stops it, world's saved, everything's fine. What was supposed to happen was the vial was supposed to break, and everybody's supposed to fucking die. And that was how season two, like, the second part of season two picked up, and they're in that dystopian future, and everything's fucked up, and shit like that. And it looked really cool, because they'd already filmed two episodes of it, and like they showed.
And then the future, the future became like a subplot that was really dumb.
Yeah, and instead it just nothing. They changed the end, and it just fucking you.
You
never
see
that chick again.
With the show, with your average sitcom or other show, losing, you know, two or three episodes isn't the end of the world, because almost every show has filler episodes. So you just cut out, you just trim the fat, and you go back to all that. But with something like Heroes, was stuff where there were set arcs, and when they lost a chunk of the episodes, they lost a chunk of their ability to tell the story.
Yep, they lost
and it was too
season.
Late to change it. So,
yeah,
well, how do you excuse season three?
There
was even season four?
There what?
Was
no, I think it was just one, two, and three.
I want to say there was a mini series or something, because
there
was there
wasn't.
Three, I think, was just like a short run.
Yeah.
Either way, this is a surprising choice, because I don't really think anybody was jumping for this. Nobody, don't get me wrong, like seeing what's his face back as Hormer and glasses and stuff is cool, but I'm really just like, was anybody, like, I know it's probably more in reaction to the fact that superheroes are all the rage now.
Yeah.
But it's, if it's in line with like what season one was, then fine, I'm down with it.
I mean,
but
I'll give the first episode a shot.
Me too.
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna try. I'll pretty much.
And if they actually make these people heroes, I'll be happy, you know, because that was the whole goddamn...
Otherwise, Batman needs to show up and beat him up for being assholes. So, yeah, a little strange that of all the things to come back, it's Heroes. I mean, then again, we are in this age, this nostalgia age where fucking, if Coach can come back, then I guess
then
fucking...
Heroes can come back, yeah.
Heroes can come back. Twin Peaks can come back, you know, we'll make it all work. But yeah, Heroes Reborn exists and it's a thing. Good
yeah,
for it.
I'm vaguely interested. I mean, like,
I'm passingly interested.
It's one of those things where I'll record the first episode. I'll probably record the first few episodes, but if I find myself strapped for time, that's the first one on my list to not watch. You know, so.
Anyway, Dusty, you didn't do your picks, so.
Pause it real fast. We'll take care of that.
Well, we're going to talk about our books. I just want you to look at the list and highlight the things you see when you see it. But our overall pick of the week is definitely Archie versus Predator 4. Like I said, we have not had a chance to read these because we are recording on Tuesday and not Thursday like we do now.
Yeah.
But we will talk about it next week. If it's anything in line with the rest of the series, it should
It'll
be pretty
be
enjoyable
awesome.
And awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. So Archie's been on a roll lately with their relaunch, and I'm pretty much down to stick with Archie.
Make mine, Archie.
I'm down with that. But anyway, I'll go first with my books. My first up is All New Hawkeye number 4.
Yeah, I'll second that.
It's by Jeff Lemire. We got Hawkeye 22 last week, finally ending the Fraction run. Now we get the fourth issue of the Lemire run. I don't know how long this is going to go before it relaunches. I think it's 5 issues, maybe? Maybe it's 5, 6, I don't know. Anyway, the art sells this book alone for me, but the story makes it good as well. They've introduced some interesting supporting characters, and I've been enjoying it quite a bit. And yeah, it's pretty good.
Totes.
And then secondly is Frankenstein Underground number 5. I believe this is the conclusion of the Mike Mignola, Ben Steinbeck, I think. Frankenstein series that's literally just about Frankenstein in the Mignola universe. They introduced a Frankenstein, and originally it was going to be somebody else, but then he was just like, well, fucking, just make it that guy. It's the Frankenstein. So it's Mike Mignola writing Frankenstein, really, and what else could you ask for?
Nice.
And lastly, Fables. I've talked about how Fables has been on the road to the end for some time, and it's finally here. Out this week will be Fables number 150/volume 22. i.e. the last volume of Fables is so big it's its own trade. The lead story is an 80-page story by Bill Willingham with a multitude of creators, including Mark Buckingham, including Gene Ha, including, I believe, Adam Hughes as well. Great list of people, and it's going to have a whole bunch of supplemental material, other short stories and things like that. So Fables has been great, and I think now that this is out, I think by next week, I think I'm also going to try to have read the last three or four volumes and complete the series, because I am going to buy this week, and kind of give my thoughts on the latter half of the series as I saw it.
Very cool.
Because it's over and it's done, and it's kind of sad. So, yeah, just the four books for me this week, I think. And Vince, what do you got?
I've got Kanan, the Last Padawan, number four. Part four of the Kanan series.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing basically how this character, who's a star on, who's in the Star Wars Rebel TV show, survived Order 66 and has, you know, become the, I guess, freedom fighter we know him now. My next book is Old Man Logan number three, which is just more of Old Man Logan trying to figure out why things
are... What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, why things are the way they are. And then I've got Weird World number two, which is also more of... I don't even know his name, but whoever the hell the main character is, it's more of him trying to figure out why things are the way they are. So, that's it for me. I mean, honestly, there's really nothing on my pull list that jumps out as being like, oh man, you absolutely have to read this.
Not this week.
But I think...
Speaking of Fables, they're actually having a big Fables farewell party up at Austin Books and Comics. It's going to have, like, Bill Willingham and Mark Buckingham.
What is that?
I don't know. I would kind of like to go, but I think it's on a Friday. And, like, I have to work. Let me see if I can find it. It's the Great Fables Wake, I think it's called. Let me see if this is actually the thing. I might have to try.
Get your picks.
Basically, Friday, August 14th, it is going to be the first ever signing of Fables 150. They will have Bill Willingham, Matt Sturgis, Dave Justice, Shelley Bond, Adam Harrington, the voice of Bigby Wolf in The Wolf Among Us, Jess Nevins, Mark Finn. There may be a pretty cool guest announced that is not, unfortunately, Mark Buckingham, but they apparently will have some more stuff, and they're going to have a big party and a big thing, and I'm gonna join it just in case. I'm going to switch myself to maybe, because I kind of would like to go to that, but it means driving up to Austin on a freaking Friday. But yeah, Fables is over. So it's Austin Books and Comics. We gotta ship dollars. Just take all 22 of my trades.
Sign these,
Willingham.
Sign these, everyone.
Well, no, the only one. Not everybody's on them, but I could take my Wolf Among Us 2 for fucking Harrington to sign. Man, Wolf Among. Did you guys play The Wolf Among Us?
I haven't. I want to, but I haven't.
Man, I loved it. And they're not doing any more seasons. The ending is like. Well, like, they had it canceled officially, but, like, they got their Walking Dead and Game of Thrones stuff, and I guarantee you that's way more successful.
Oh, dude, they've got Game of Thrones, they've got Walking Dead, they've got Minecraft, they've got Tales of Borderlands, they've got a property.
More of my point was that, like, when you got cash cows like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, why would you do another Fables season?
I think it did well, honestly. I mean,
I liked it quite a bit. Like, man, I, like, reviews. Genuinely was in, like, it's, you know, point... It's like pushing buttons, yeah. But I was still invested in what was happening. Part of that is that, like, I'm a sucker for mysteries, and, like, that whole run is a murder mystery. You know, who did this? What's going on? How deep does this go, sort of thing? And, like, I was completely down with it and loved it and would like more, but they've been what's-their-faces? Telltale has been very wishy-washy on committing to another season. And Adam Harrington, the guy who played Bigby Wolf, has apparently also been like, yeah, I got nothing to tell you.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I liked it quite a bit, and man, I might almost just like not go to Space City and go to the Fables Wake instead. Be funny. And
all right, man, do some picks.
Yeah. All right, my turn for picks. So let's see here.
Getting ready for all of them, guys. It's probably gonna be like 100 books.
Everything else on the list.
Punisher 20. Anxious to see how this is wrapping up. you know. I'll go with Magneto 20 as well, because I'm also interested to see how that one's going to wrap up. Then let's see here. Wolf, number one, new one from Alice Cott. This guy does pretty good stuff, you know. And plus, it's an Image number one, which means I'm going to buy it. So, it happens.
Of course.
Valhalla Mad, number three, new one from Joe Casey and Paul Mayberry. These guys are putting out a really fun comic. I love it. Sons of the Devil, number three, the new one from Brian Buccioletto.
You're a son of the devil. I'm just kidding. Don't punch me.
Goddamn right. Let's see here.
Dead air. Dead air.
Dead air.
Yeah, we
dead
are
air.
Robin number two.
Well, which one?
We are Robin number two.
How was number one?
Don't know.
So you just
haven't had a chance to read it.
That doesn't make any sense.
But I don't know. Yes, you're shut up. So, see the way you're looking at me.
I think we're done. That's good.
Oh, now here we go. Disciples number two and Mayday number four. Both of these books have been really cool. The Mayday number four is coming. It's coming to a wrap. This new one from Kurt Pyers, Curtis Pyers, I believe. And Disciples number two is the new horror series from Christopher Minton and Stephen Isles. First one was really fucking cool. I'm anxious to see where these guys go with it.
Awesome.
I am fucking done.
Cool. So we're gonna wrap. So yeah, those are our books. Like I said, we haven't read them, but we have strong feelings that they'll be decent. At the very least.
Yeah.
And but anyway, let's wrap up our show. We're going to talk about Ant-Man for a little bit. We all managed to see Ant-Man this weekend, so we can all talk about a movie as it came out and not have to wait until whenever.
Yeah.
And this is our last superhero movie until... Well, Fantastic Four is coming, never mind. And then Fantastic Four
is
the last
Apocalypse movie. Is next year, right?
Yeah, Apocalypse is next summer.
Alright, so basically, if you've seen Ant-Man
is fucking amazing.
Hold on. If you've seen Ant-Man, keep listening. If you haven't, pause it. Come back to us after you've seen it.
There's nothing going to be after this.
So turn off the episode for now, and then just jump back here when you come back.
Yeah.
But I went in with some lower expectations. I wasn't expecting something like... I wasn't expecting a Guardians of the Galaxy or an Avengers or anything, but I was hopefully expecting something that was entertaining and fun, and it was that, but I think it delivered it on a fairly better scale than I was expecting.
It
was pretty great. And Paul Rudd nails it. I mean,
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Paul Rudd arguably sells the movie. I mean, more than anybody else.
I don't know, man. Luis Pena.
Michael Pena makes the most of the stuff he's getting.
His character was hilarious, dude.
I loved his scenes where like he's doing the whole "my friend told this,"
yeah.
But everybody is talking with his voice, including Stan Lee.
Yeah,
at the end.
That's so good.
Man, she fine, yo.
And it's Stan Lee.
I think Stan Lee said that he was gonna be an Ant-Man, but wasn't gonna be like a normal cameo. So
he's also saying his cameo in Apocalypse is different. I think. Mm. I think that's what he said. But
I love Michael Pena's character simply because he's like this straight up criminal that's, alright, first off, he's a hardcore motherfucker. Every time he punches somebody, they get knocked the fuck out. And he even drops the line, he's like, yeah, I'm still the only guy to knock him out at the beginning of the fucking movie, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, he's a badass. Like, he might just be the strongest fucking character.
Yeah, man, Baskin Robbins, they always know, man.
Baskin Robbins always finds out.
I love that because, like...
He's a cultured motherfucker, too. He's like, so I'm at this wine tasting. You know I don't like my Chiantes. I like my wine like this.
They were red. Normally I don't sit with the red, but it was a darker red, so I was okay with it.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, we had this art show. You know I don't like expressionism.
I'm more the pointillism type guy myself. The other two guys were a little bit more kind of just... cookie cutter characters.
I loved T.I.'s guy. The third Russian dude was just like, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
But
T.I.'s character.
Pena and Rudd, like, sell the movie. Evangeline Lilly's pretty good, and they set up some pretty cool shit for her going forward.
That tag at the end was awesome.
Fucking awesome. I love the costume that they show because it looks like a mixture of Wasp and Stinger. Stinger from, like, MC2 universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Type shit.
And Michael Douglas brought a enough weight to the role of Hank Pym, and you kind of bought into his kind of troubled history and his hesitance to let Hope become Ant-Man and all that.
During the big reveal, why, like, because, like, at the beginning half of the movie, there's a bunch of drama between Hope.
Where you don't really understand
why
he doesn't want Hope doing this.
Exactly.
Well, it's not only that, but it's also
why she hates him so much in the first place.
Well, when, I mean, back to the S.H.I.E.L.D. flashback in the 80s, there was kind of like an exchange about his wife, where Hank Pym ended up punching the guy in the face.
Yeah.
And it's easy for you to think, oh, okay, well, he's going to be going to the slapping thing that happened between Janet and Hank.
Well, he also drops that, you know, when you use the stuff repeatedly, it messes with your head.
Yeah.
It starts, and that is kind of also, I think, seeding the some of the issues that he may have had in his past. Though that S.H.I.E.L.D. stinger at the beginning, I didn't know that was coming. That was pretty cool. Seeing like Howard Stark and Haley Atwell.
It was actually pretty cool because I think, if I remember, it was definitely the Triskelion, but it looked like it was under construction.
Yeah.
Like that that was neat.
That, and I didn't realize that was coming. And but Paul Rudd is
the
awesome
costume that they show. When they do the cut into the flashback and they show that scene where it's Ant-Man and Wasp together, and it's like, dude, when she fucking spreads those fucking wings and flies back, you're like, oh, fuck,
that
was
awesome.
Like, that's fucking cool. Yeah.
But they also see that, you know, she went subatomic, but Scott goes subatomic and manages to come back, which means that Janet is quite possibly still out there somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Which, it could be interesting. I've heard, like, I didn't know this going in, but I've read some stuff after the movie, that Hope Van Dyne's character in some other universe, not the 616, became a supervillain. So what if they kind of change that, and she's the Wasp, and Janet comes back, and since she's been in the subatomic realm for so long...
She's the villain.
She's the villain, yeah, that could be...
That could be very interesting.
apparently, I've also heard that if you kind of look at the crazy psychedelic scene at the end of the movie where Scott Lang goes subatomic, you can see there's supposed to be something back there that shows Janet.
I don't know about that. I actually thought he might run into Janet. Like I was
hoping that wasn't going to happen.
Well, yeah, I thought it would have been a little too cheesy.
Yeah.
A little too ham-fisted for her to kind of just be like, tell him I'm okay, and have that big gun moment at the end where he's like, she's out there. I'm like, just knowing... Him just knowing that somebody can come back from being subatomic is enough for him to know that there's a hope.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But... The movie really hits, all right. And fucking Anthony, man.
Yeah.
Anthony, why they gotta do that to me?
Well, you know what the cool thing is that...
But the minute they fucking named... My friend said it on my face, like, the minute they gave him a name, I knew he was gonna die.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't fucking care. I knew it was coming and it still punched me in the gut.
I bought the Ant-Man Lego set, and it comes with a giant ant. Like, basically, it's... They're supposed to be at, like, subatomic... Or not subatomic, but smaller scale.
Yeah.
So, like, the ant is, like, a giant fucking ant. There's, like, little Lego bricks.
That fucking ant dog at the end.
No, that was hilarious. But...
I think it was it's a fucking little dog.
But it's Anthony. It's Anthony. Like, that's hilarious that they made a Lego set about that fucking...
That fight on the fucking train set was hysterical. Is they're all down there and it's all hardcore and it's train. And then they cut out and it's just... Pew! Pew! Pew!
I really wish they left that out of the trailer. I mean, it sold a trailer, but it would have been cool to see that in the movie without knowing it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then, like, the Thomas the Engine part where it flies out the window and then, like, expands.
That's pretty funny.
That was awesome. That was hilarious.
Yeah. So, and that was the thing about the movie, is it was genuinely funny. It maintained a lot of that humor and was one of the most, I think, probably the most lighthearted MCU movie. Like, this is the one that, like somebody was saying that, you know, somebody was saying the MCU movies aren't for kids, and I'm like, I think most of them could be shown.
They are. No, I think they absolutely are.
Yeah. There's a couple of movies that ramp it up to a point where I'm just like, okay, but those are more the exception than the rule.
Yeah.
It was the same guy who said that DC, Batman, Superman, and Suicide Squad show everything that's wrong with the genre because their movie's made for adults, and I'm just like, first off, it's called fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you really think it's fucking made for little kids? Fuck off.
No. But he was trying to say that the Marvel movies are the same way, and I was like, they're not, though. Like, most of those could be shown to a kid that's 10 or 11 years old without a whole lot of problem.
I think
my nephews are, let's see, he saw Iron Man when he was 4 and refused to watch the animated Iron Man after that ever since. Okay, because he used to watch...
that fucking kid that wouldn't shut
up. he used to watch the animated Iron Man movie every night before he went to sleep. The really shitty one for the Marvel made a long time ago.
Right.
Okay.
And then I finally got his parents. So I was like, show him the real one. You know, so just show him
the real one.
Show him the live action one, you know. And I think it was right when Iron Man 2 was coming out or something. And like, this fucking kid, like he refused to watch it. And like they went and like he was like, I want to watch Iron Man. So they were like went in his room and they put in the animated one. He's like, and here's why I say the real one. Because he's like, no, I want to watch the real Iron Man. And they're like, what are you talking about? He's like, I want to watch the real Iron Man. And they're like, they couldn't figure it out. And finally, like, do you mean like live action? You know, like, the kid. And he's like, yeah, I want to watch real Iron Man. You know, I'm like, all right. Since then, fucking Iron Man. That's all he ever fucking cares about.
Cool. I mean, yeah, like, honestly, probably Winter Soldier.
Maybe Iron Man. Maybe not for little kids.
Maybe Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
He loves Iron Man 2.
Winter Soldier.
I'm trying to think which Marvel movie would be not for kids. I'm thinking, like, Captain America, The Winter Soldier is probably the only one I could think of.
Yeah.
Where I'd be like, that might be a little rough.
Yeah.
It gets a little intense.
Maybe Age of Ultron? Maybe. But I'm.
Age of Ultron has some fairly fucked up stuff that happens, but it's still to the point where, like, most of that is. It's the exception more than the rule with the Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with making a superhero movie for adults. Like, Deadpool, normally fucking.
Yeah.
It's going to be rated fucking R.
The thing is that there are so many things for kids out there. It's like you've got so many cartoons and TV shows and stuff like that. It's like, why can't the adults have some fun? Because I've been watching Iron Man or reading Iron Man since I was a kid.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that franchises need to, like, age with their audience. Like, you know, that's what a lot of people were saying when that fucking...
With Power Rangers.
Like, that gritty power... Like, I had friends were like, well, this is for us fans of the original. And I was like, fucking, I don't want a goddamn Thomas the Tank Engine show where Thomas decides that it's time to fucking run motherfuckers down. Because he's old and he's bitter and he's tired of these motherfuckers. Like, I don't know. You don't need that. It's a kids show that... But the difference there is that these were things that were kids shows from the inception. That was the point.
Yeah.
Comics have evolved over time, and
the comics have kind of like for adults for kids. They kind of go
back and forth, but it's a thing where the article, excuse me, that was making this point, was trying to argue this, was saying the superheroes in general, he's like, they're for kids, they should never be for adults. He was running down Frank Miller and Alan Moore, basically like they shouldn't have done anything like that. I'm like, well, fuck you, nobody cares.
I have a quick interjection.
Sure.
I realized something today, it was pointed out to me, and I never caught this before. Are you a Mystery Men fan? I'm assuming.
Yes.
You're a Mystery Men fan. You do realize that the villain of the movie is modeled after Alan Moore. He wears a bunch of rings and he has a really long beard.
To start. He doesn't have it at the end, though.
True. Yeah, but it was
in Mystery Men.
Mystery Men, to me, is a movie that if it had come out now, would have been an instant classic.
Yeah.
Like... Mystery Men came out at a time when superhero movies weren't really a thing.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the satire and humor was just kind of like, whoop!
Yeah. But no, that appearance is a reference to Alan Moore. They did that for a reason, okay? Because also, like...
God, that was like 1999, so...
Yeah.
It was bad.
But, like, I mean, fucking...
Fucking All-Star
was on Snapchat. His costume is a throwback to Alan Scott's costume. The Shoveler is... His costume is a reference to Jay Garrick's costume with the helmet.
Yeah.
Fucking Ben Stiller's character is a reference to Wildcat. Like, his costume is a reference to Wildcat's costume.
Where's the leather jacket? Mystery Men in general was just a movie that, like, I just really think went over people's heads when it came out.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that if that movie got another chance now, it would have had...
A much
bigger chance. Not to mention the cast. Like,
it's fucking amazing.
Like, you look at that cast, it was pretty, because you've got fucking Jeffrey Rush as the villain. You've got Greg Kinnear as the Superman character. Mm-hmm. You've got William H. Macy, Ben Stiller, Hank Azaria, Gene Garofalo, Kel Mitchell, Paul Rubens. It's
Tom Waits.
Tom Waits. Fucking, it's this insane list of people.
Yeah.
How the hell did we go from Ant-Man and Mystery Men?
Because he brought up the Alan Moore thing when I talked about Alan Moore.
It's really weird.
But no, like, I do genuinely feel that if Mystery Men came out now, it would have, like, easily become a cult classic. Because that movie just... It was lampooning things that almost hadn't happened yet.
Yeah.
To the point that, like, if it came out now, especially in this age of kind of the the Dark Knight type movies, I think it would have immediately had a much bigger impact and kind of caught on a lot better.
Now that you're saying
it,
I kind of want to watch it. Like,
maybe we should all watch it and come back and talk about it sometime.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe we will. Yeah, we can probably do that sometime.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going to wrap up our show this week. In short, we all loved Ant-Man, and that stinger at the end.
Yeah, and then the second stinger is actually...
That's what I meant.
That's an actual clip from Civil War.
Is it?
Yes, I was reading about it.
Well, I think it is, from what I understand, it's kind of maybe like a different perspective.
The one I was reading, Kevin Feige.
Well, it was shot during Civil War's production.
Yeah, they said it is a scene from Civil War. They might change a couple little things about that scene when you actually see Civil War.
Apparently, Kevin Feige pretty much said, hey, we just stick this at the end of.
Yeah.
Of kind of like why. One of the Thor movies, I guess. The Dark World, maybe?
What?
Well, there was a stinger in one of the Thor movies.
Oh, yeah, the end of Thor, The Dark World, is the Guardian stinger.
Yeah.
And James Gunn did that one. And I think Whedon did the original Thor stinger with the cube and Selvig. Let me think. I'm trying to think of who did all the stingers. But most of the stingers are shot during the production of the next movie.
Yeah.
Because at that point...
The Spider-Man reference...
We got a guy that jumps, we got a guy that swings,
and you got a guy that crawls up walls. I'm like, god damn it, just fucking show him already, fuck. But
he wasn't even cast when they shot this.
That's what I'm saying. Are they saying there's three different people?
I think it was just like a more of a joke, because apparently, like, what Kevin Feige has said was that scene was filmed before they had the rights to the character.
Nice.
So it was more of like an in-joke.
A nod.
It was a nod to, you know, maybe they're not all the same guy, maybe they are the same, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, in short, Ant-Man was really good, and I suggest you go see it because it needs to make more money so they can make another one.
Goddamn right. They're going to do it anyways.
Yep. And I am more than down with... What the hell is that? Anyway... I'm more than down with what they did in Ant-Man. I think it was
a
really good...
The Falcon cameo was great.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
It's not even a cameo. It's like
the Falcon scene,
you know?
I love that where, like, Ant-Man's flying in and, like, the clouds break and you fucking see, like, Avengers and he's just like, you son of a bitch.
But then, hey, he gets the job done anyway.
That was actually a really cool way to showcase his powers, like early on, with all the flipping and the turning small, turning big, flipping over. You know, it was a really good showcase of his powers.
We gotta make sure the cat does not find out about any of this.
I would appreciate it if none of you told Steve about what just happened. Exactly. I quite dug it, and hopefully they can do some more. Although Lang will be in Civil War, as evident, as teased in the final scene.
As giant man motherfuckers, it has been announced that he will go giant in Civil War.
Has it?
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Okay. I'm going to look at this.
He will go giant.
I mean, whatever.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's, Scott Lang apparently will debut his giant man persona. I don't know according to who, but somebody said it, which...
Dusty with
it was on the internet, so that clearly means it's true, and it's not at all made up by some jackass trying to get clicks.
Dusty.
Dusty started the rumor. He started that rumor and everything. But anyway, that's going to wrap up our show this week, guys.
Yeah.
Definitely go see Ant-Man, and we'll be back with you guys next week to talk about all of this week's and next week's comics, and maybe Mystery Men if we get our shit together. I'll watch. I have the next 3 days off. Actually, technically the next 5 days off, so I am probably going to watch
it. Do you own this movie?
Probably.
Good lord. I was just going to rent it on Amazon. It's like $3.
I might own it. I think I own it. I'll have to check.
I thought it was on Netflix for a little while there.
It might be still. Anyway, guys, we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Have a good one.
Deuce.